Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Some wild stuff in the association tonight. The Lakers win 112-109. The Raptors and the Bucks was like a Ivy League basketball game from the 50s or something. And then you look up, it's like, what? They're in overtime? It's 104-101? The Raptors just can't buy a break right now. Like, even like they're terrible. They go on this incredible, crazy comeback and then they end up losing by three in overtime. Like, you can just feel their frustration. A lot of stuff to break down. World Junior Hockey Championships. Babano, tonight I got involved in this. Me and Cam got involved in this. One reason, well, I'll tell you what, this is the first year, although betting obviously is more mainstream now, right? You know, and it's legal in more places, but this is the first year, Babano, that American sports books have odds for the World Junior Championships. And I think it's because, like, basically put it this way, if FanDuel wasn't in Ontario and spending all that money they do, like pimping this thing, they wouldn't have the World Juniors. You know what I mean? They never did in the past.
I think that's why they have it in the States, because they have Serve Ontario now. And if you're going to serve Ontario, you better damn well have the World Junior line.
Well, the thing is, exactly. Like, so they have it up, and so it's just there for everybody now. You know what I mean? But it wasn't for everybody. Like, nobody was asking for it, but it was smart on their behalf. And, you know, like I said, not every book has it, but most do, right? Which they hadn't in the past. Before, it was more of a Canadian book thing or a bookie thing or, like, an offshore thing. You know what I mean? Oh, I got a book that can do it. Like, yeah, you know, you can find one.
European books would have it.
Yeah. But put it this way, Bet365 doesn't now, which is somewhat surprising considering you can bet on freaking
surprising.
Vietnamese ping pong there, right? Like, they don't have it. And like I said, right now over there, you can bet on Chinese Basketball League, table tennis. I wasn't kidding about table tennis. Russian table tennis. You want to talk about stuff, man, that I would not bet on. I would rather play three-card Monty under a bridge in Brooklyn than bet on Russian table tennis. It's like two Russian dudes in a basement of Moscow. And how the hell do you even know who's who? Like, does anyone even know? You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, oh, this guy's Gary Shevchenkov. He's the number two player in the world. Yeah, is that even him? Right? They got these grainy cameras. There's, like, supposedly a judge in the room. I'm dead serious. They have live video streams for this stuff. I bet on this stuff. It's the shadiest stuff ever. And you see these massive line swings. And it's like, you know, you bet on that. You watch that. You realize fast. You're like, yeah, I don't know. There's stuff going on that I don't know what's going on here. Like, it's one of those type of deals. But, hey, if you want to bet on it, go ahead. So that's what I'm saying. I'm amazed that the sportsbooks take that stuff. But some stuff, the other stuff, they won't. But the World Juniors, we nailed it tonight. Babano, the total was 6.5. Thought it was a little light. Canada was a little pricey, but we had Canada in regulation and on the money line as well. We'll welcome our AM radio affiliates here in a second. Let's roll. It's level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, including the Money or 1090 ESPN Radio, SoCal in the house. Eric Pincus will join us from SoCal. We'll talk Lakers. We'll talk NBA. Lakers actually won tonight. We'll break down tonight's action, but you know, the big news of the week obviously has been DeMar Hamlin's health trending in the positive direction right now. Still in critical condition. But doctors are reporting, and his family is reporting. His family's reporting through the doctors. The doctors aren't speaking. The family is. That there has been positive signs trending in the right direction. He's breathing more on his own now. He still has tubes, but he is breathing more on his own. So let's just pray day by day that things get better. It's obviously a very fluid situation. So people were wondering, and there was a time and place to wonder how things were going to play out as far as the schedule is concerned. And there really wasn't any reason to panic, right? They were going to figure things out, people, right? I mean, it's all you know, scrape them off the field and play the game crowd. Like, really? You're a bunch of ghouls. And it's not set in stone yet, but it appears as though the plan is going to be, so of course they're going to play this weekend. The Bills are going to be playing this weekend against the Patriots. The Bengals are going to be playing this weekend. Next weekend, the playoffs will start. Except next weekend, when the playoffs start, let's call it week 19, it'll only be the NFC that starts, and the Bills and Bengals will play. So the Bills and Bengals would resume the game from the score, I would assume, right? You know what I mean? And start, you know, basically start over, not from scratch, but resume from where, you know, you were. And so it would be 7-3 and whatever, and how many minutes left and it was. And they played a game. NFC wildcard plays a game. Following week, the AFC play their games. The following week after that, we're right back on schedule. Divisional round for both conferences. Week after that, conference championship round. Week after that, the Super Bowl. The only caveat, if you notice here, is there would be no bye week in between the conference championship game and the Super Bowl, and nobody likes the bye week anyways. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Some bad news for you.
I know, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. So we went over the NFL scenario as far as their schedule is concerned. The Super Bowl is February the 12th. It's a long time away, man. You know, they always push that back. That's why, like, people talk about this and now, oh, you got to do this then. Why? Who cares? Like, you know what I mean? The Super Bowl used to be on the last Sunday of January, man. And here we are. Then they moved it to the first Sunday of February. Now here we are in the 12th. Like, whatever, dude. Next, when are they going 18 games? Not next year, the year after? They're going 18 games, and they've already said they're going to push the Super Bowl back another week. So, in other words, then the Super Bowl will be like February 21st and stuff like that, right? And then, eventually, you got to believe they'll just say, you know what, why not just make the Super Bowl the last Sunday of February?
And this way we can dominate another full month. Which, you know what? I got to be honest, it makes sense. It makes sense. I'll tell you what, Babano's with us right now. We'll get to some picks here. But my main thing, I'm telling you right now, you want my idea? Make the Super Bowl on Saturday night, not on a Sunday. Move the Super Bowl to Saturday. It'll be a bigger party. Everyone wins. Like, businesses will win. America will win. Like, I'm telling you, I should be a politician and run on this alone. Like, the financial impact alone. Listen, think about how big of a financial impact the Super Bowl is already. That's on a Sunday, all right? That's on a Sunday. Think of if it was on a Saturday, how much bigger it would be. If it wasn't on, like, a Sunday night. It was on Saturday night, like, all restaurants, bars, like, everywhere, sports books, like, everywhere. It's already packed, but it would be even crazier. Right? And you can, you know, and people would party their asses off, and then also they wouldn't have to go to work on Monday, the next day, like they do, right? Because it would be Sunday, and corporations would win because people would buy more of their products over Super Bowl weekend, and then corporations would win, so you wouldn't have the millions of man hours lost of uselessness that you have after the Super Bowl. Like, everyone knows, like, in a workplace, the Super Bowl, the day after the Super Bowl is, like, the worst. Like, in offices, like, the actual productivity and stuff like that is terrible. The other thing I would suggest, too, is it's stupid to have the college football playoff on Monday. Like, why isn't it just this Saturday? College football plays Saturday all year. You played the semifinal games on Saturday. Well, let's wait for the next Monday. Why? Why? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's whatever, man. Why? It's not like the NFL's in a way. Who cares? If they had their championship game, do I have to do everything for them?
Actually, Gabe, it is in the way. There's two NFL games on Saturday this weekend. That's exactly why.
You move them? No, it's always on Monday night, Babano. It's been Monday night for the last 20 years, the championship game. But it's stupid. So all you need to do, whatever, dude, you move the games up earlier. You have the Jacksonville game at 4:30 leading into the championship game, and you'd have better ratings.
Hey,
because the NFL would actually lead you in.
Time slice and day, I guess, out of it. But, yeah, it's not going to change. There's certain things, Gabe, they're not going to change. They're not going to move the Super Bowl, just like they're not moving the Grey Cup from Sundays. We've been complaining about that for years. At least Randy Ambrosi, though, moved some of the other playoff weekend semifinals and division finals to Saturday in the future. At least he did that, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, that was done. That was done smartly. That was pushed by suggested by the networks. That basically it's kind of crazy to have their CFL playoff games going head to head with the NFL, right? It's, yeah. You got to go against something, but it's better to go against college at least. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And don't forget, ESPN's a partner on that. So it was ESPN that actually pushed, said, listen, why? How come you guys are playing on Sunday anyways? Like, and as you stated too, it's the one thing people don't like the CFL commissioner, like people inside, like around the league and stuff. They think he's an idiot, but he is like pro fan, right? He really is. Oh, what do the fans think? What do the fans think? And he's smart in a sense that, like, each city, each team, which is the night that the people like do, want the games. He sort of listened, like, okay, people like the Friday games. People want Saturday night games. People like they don't want this. They don't like the Sunday games when the NFL is on. Like, they sort of started to figure things out, and at least a lot of stuff that was just stupid they did before, they just sort of common sense. But nevertheless, so the NFL's on, because you got to remember, before Babano, there was no championship game, right, in college football. Like, how long has there been a championship game in college football, guys? Like, not that long.
Well, in the BCS era, before the playoff, they had the national championship game, but they didn't have, obviously, semifinals or anything leading into it. They just had the championship game.
No, there was no championship game, Babano. It was voted on.
BCS national championship game. Remember Florida State and Auburn when?
Yeah, that's not that long ago.
They called
it
the BCS national championship, and that was before the playoffs existed.
Yeah, the playoffs has existed for like 6 years or something. Like, the BCS is not that old, Babano. Like, there was a Babano before the BCS playoff. There was no college football playoff game. There was no title game. There was never a definitive title game, and a BCS game didn't exist. When let me look this up. When did BCS come in? My guess is the BCS came in like 2001 or something only.
I think you're right. It was around then. But I know BCS for a fact Bulls. There was BCS National Championship game is actually what they called it before the playoff system took over.
The BCS. But that's like before. That's not – that was my whole point. That this whole, like, the actual national championship football game hasn't been around that long, right? Like, before it was voted on. And it was voted on for, like, 100 freaking years, right? That's the way that it worked, right? You had the coaches poll and you had the AP poll. And you had to, sometimes there was two champions. And that's the way it was. They didn't play each other, and there were ties, right? So, and there was no playoff, and it was what it was. And you had national champions. And finally, people complained, oh, this is stupid. You know, you got to have some sort of something. And then they brought in the computer stuff. All right, BCS relied on a combination of polls and computers. For the record, too, I remember, it was in place from 1998. It was right after Michigan won. I guess Michigan were like the last team to win, right? It was like, so 1998 through 2013. So like I said, so it's not like historically there's been a title game. There's been like 22 of them or something like that. But I remember when the BCS came out, guys, I was one of the people, man, that said, this is the stupidest idea ever, right? Like, man, I was like, man, you're going to let a computer decide, right? Because it was a computer. They basically had like these supercomputers, but I'll tell you what, they never got it wrong. Right? The BCS was flawless.
People weren't used to computers deciding things at that time, late 90s.
It was the sort of the beginning. There was a little bit of a human element. It was like relied on a combination of polls, so the human poll and computer selection methods to determine relative team rankings. And I think, you know, honestly, this is off the top of my head, guys, but I think Penn State won. So, like, Penn State were, like, the only team ever to maybe have a beef. But not everybody can get in. Like, it's like now. So it's just, it is what it is. But yeah, the computer was pretty good. And then people got, oh, this is stupid. We're letting the computer do it. And then they came up with this crap now. So, like I said, like, so it used to be, Bibano, like the national championship per se would be on New Year's Day. You know what I mean? In one of the bowl games, you know? Like, it could be two, like Michigan when they won. Like, Michigan. Yeah. If they go undefeated, you know, they were playing Washington State in the Rose Bowl. So. It wasn't the title game, but it kind of was. You know, like, if Washington State won, they weren't the champions, but if Michigan did, they were, because they didn't lose, you know? College football, and hit on the other side, though, because funny, they like it this way, because we talk about it. They like controversy. They like it. They thrive on it. They actually think it's good for business.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One thing I was saying, I remember, like, this is like a long time ago, like 20 years ago, or no, longer than that, because we're just talking about the BCS. It's like 25 years ago, so... But that was my whole point. It's not like historically there's been a college championship last actual game. But remember in the old days, and there was the famous Miami and Nebraska, and they were both undefeated, and they're playing each other in the Orange Bowl. And they could have played for a tie, Babano, but Nebraska went for it to get the win, and they lost, and Miami won the championship. It was pretty ballsy. But there used to be ties, and there were votes and stuff. And I remember... There was an interview, I don't know if it was Larry King or who, it was a long time ago, but I remember it was a radio interview, and like I heard it live, and the guy said, you know, as the commissioner or whoever the hell was in charge of college football, and they said, you know, you people say you got ties, and you know, you award your champion via votes and the media, and he goes, just kind of, you know, you're the only sport, that was it, you're the only sport that doesn't have like a playoff, and you allow, like, you vote on a champion. And then he said, you know, there's always controversy. And the guy said, exactly, Babano, right? He goes, exactly. There's always controversy. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you're talking about it, aren't you? And he basically said that it's good for the sport. He goes, you know, people are passionate about their opinions, and we, you know, we like that people are going to be passionate. In other words, they like
it. People talking.
Exactly. Yeah. No, our team got screwed, and everyone's talking everywhere in every state. No, man, no, they got screwed. No, they got screwed.
They want people to sound like that.
And then in the end, we all watch the game in the end, right, Babano, no matter who's in it, right? Like, oh, no, Ohio State doesn't shouldn't be there. Oh, my God, this game's crazy, right? And so they know this. Like you said, Babano, they know. Like, they're not stupid. Controversy sells, Babano. That's the bottom line.
That's right, because it's going to get people that are going to watch the game anyway. You know, yep.
And I guess people mad and into it and stuff.
Yeah. And they'll talk about it, and it'll be focus and basically, you know, retention on the sport, which is what they're looking for at the end of the day.
All right, so did you see this? Our boy Mattress Mac laid $1.5 million down on TCU Moneyline. So Mattress Mac, $1.5 million, well, you can afford it. It's like you or me betting $15. Yeah. No, I don't even sure. Like, that's what I think. That's what it is, $15.
Me betting $2 million on TCU, that's gutsy. Yeah.
Well, you don't have $2 million, Babano.
I know. If I would, I mean.
Do you? Unless you're holding out on us, do you?
I wish. I wish.
Hold on, Babano. Let me just backtrack on this and see your logic here. How do you think it would be gutsy of you to bet $2 million that you don't have? Like, how is it gutsy of you to risk something that you don't have?
That's right. It's I don't have it. But I'm just saying that would be like me trying to bet $2 million on a team.
No, it's nothing like that at all.
If I lost, I'd never be able to pay it back.
Him betting $1.5 million, you betting more than him, that's not the same thing at all. See, my analogy was correct. You should have just rolled with it. When I said this is like us betting $15, right?
Yes.
I'd say maybe $150. $1.5 million to him is like, you know, $100 to us. Yeah. Like him losing $1 million, he'll go to sleep easy. It's like us losing a $150 bet. Or I'd say 15, because I think the guy's got what, $300-400 million a guy? So it's like I said, my analogy was correct, Babano. You betting $2 million. Where the hell are you getting $2 million from? Like, you gotta have the money to bet. Yeah, well,
but if I lost the $2 million that fell out of the sky, I'd never be able to pay it back. And if I lost it,
yeah, that's the whole thing. You ain't betting with a bookie. You gotta have it up first. Anyways, a little bit better. All right. So as I stated, Mattress Mac bet $1.5 million on TCU money line, and it pays back $5.5 million if he wins. So Mattress Mac is in on this right now. They moved the money line at the book that he bet it at. He bet it at DraftKings. I think in Louisiana. So they moved the number, but, you know, it doesn't affect the overall point spread of the football game. Which is 13.5, or at least it was, and it's been bouncing around. And it was 12.5. It depends on where you're betting this. But I thought 13.5 was a little high, Babano, personally. It's 12.5 currently at FanDuel. 62.5 is the total. Right now, I'm going to look at a couple other spots just to get a feel for it. I don't know what you see elsewhere. I thought it's too high, and I don't really know there's not much of a difference between 12.5 and 13.5. It's not really a key number right there. What's your take on it?
I think it is too. I mean, last week, how much difference is there between Michigan and Georgia at the end of the day? I mean, because that's what you have to ask yourself. And I know, and because look, I think there were a lot of similarities with Michigan and Georgia, and you have to give TCU credit for doing things I wasn't sure they'd be able to do against Michigan. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to run for 200 yards or just about. And the guy that would be doing it would be DeMarcado, who had to take over because Kendre Miller was banged up in that game. He started running the football against a team that had the third best run defense in college football, Michigan. TCU was able to do that. You have to give them some credit for that. And if they can do that against Michigan, you have to give them a puncher's chance to be able to do that against Georgia. And if they can have just a little bit of success running the football, it opens up the passing game. And as we saw in the Ohio State-Georgia game, there are issues. There are big-time issues with that Georgia secondary. Okay, they gave up 500 yards to Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels, the two LSU quarterbacks, in the SEC championship game. And then they gave up nearly 400 passing yards to C.J. Stroud last week. They survived it, but it wasn't because that pass defense was shutting down the Buckeyes. So there's pathways for TCU to move the football here. And I think we've seen enough out of TCU that there's no opponent that's going to, you know, have them quaking in their boots. You know, they were not in awe of Michigan. I don't think they're going to be in awe of this Georgia team. Now, has Georgia, you know, got the higher level of recruit? Obviously, no, very little, if anybody, has recruited better than Georgia. They're right there with Bama, Ohio State, teams like that. No question. But I don't think you can underestimate the way TCU's just hung in there. They haven't lost any game by margin this year. They've got a guy at quarterback and Max Duggan who will lay it out on the line every single game. And I love his rushing yards prop in this game, actually, over 28.5. I think it's a little bit high. I see Georgia winning by 7. I could even see Georgia winning by 10. But I don't think they're going to blow out this TCU team.
No, I don't get the lack of respect for TCU at this point. And it's nothing against Georgia, but I also think there might just be a little bit of the market is overpriced with the Georgia Bulldogs, Babano, right now. Like, look, if we just look at what we've seen, right? What have we seen? We saw Michigan beat Ohio State, right? We saw Michigan beat Ohio State. And it was a pretty close game. It was, you know, it was close at the half and then Michigan pulled away. TCU just beat Michigan, right? And not convincingly, but they beat them. I mean, Michigan were the ones playing from behind all night, right? So they beat Michigan. The mighty Georgia team just basically got lucky and nearly lost to Ohio State. So in other words, Babano, in my opinion, if you put Georgia, TCU, Ohio State, and Michigan in a blender and they all play each other every day, it's going to be a damn close game all the time, bro. They're all good teams. They're evenly matched, Babano.
Yeah. I don't think there's nearly 2 touchdowns gap between these two teams, and that's what this comes down to for me. And,
well, you got to throw everything out, Babano, about like people's stats and, like, you know what I mean? Oh, well, Georgia is this, and they're putting no yards per play on all this. You throw all that stuff out.
Yeah.
It's one football game. Anything can happen. And as you stated, as we've seen, TCU are not, like, going to – if they were, like – they already faced the pressure. They've never been in the playoffs. They roll in there. Michigan had been. They handle the pressure, no problem. Another thing is they're already on the West. Like, they've been in the West Coast. Georgia's been protected in little SEC country all the time. They always get these big games in Atlanta and stuff or in the South. And now here they are. Boom, you got to go to Los Angeles now. Suddenly you're not the big, you know, crowd darling. People are going to be pulling for the underdog in TCU just generally as a whole. The aura in the air will be more dog type stuff. And I brought it up. Like, you talked about some of their players. Thing is with TCU, Georgia are deeper. There's no Georgia are deeper than everybody, but, you know, Georgia doesn't have the third top-ranked wide receiver going into the NFL draft right now. TCU does, and Quentin Johnson. Georgia doesn't have the Thorpe Award winner for the best defensive back in the country. TCU do, with Tomlinson. I was going to say, Georgia does have a quarterback that was invited, you know, for a Heisman and Stetson Bennett, but so does TCU, right? So, you know, listen, the battle in the trenches is one thing. But honestly, Babano, and I know they're different teams, but I personally thought that Michigan was going to win the battle in the trenches on the offensive and defensive lines. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Number one, Michigan had a hard time protecting their quarterback and a hard time getting a ground game going. Terrible in short yardage situations. On the other side, number two, they had a very hard time containing TCU and beating TCU's offensive lineman at the line of scrimmage. TCU did not lose the battle in the trenches against Michigan.
You know what's amazing, too, is all I heard, too, was there's no pass rush from TCU. The defensive line's their area of weakness. Could have fooled me. Did anybody watch D. Winters? What he was doing against Michigan? I mean, that guy was a man possessed. For TCU, he was blowing up the line of scrimmage. It was all over the run game. He got a pass rush consistently on JJ McCarthy, always in his grill. Obviously, they do have a defensive line. They've got some players on the up front that maybe can frustrate. And the thing is, too, and that worries me too about Georgia, Bennett made some critical mistakes against Ohio State, interception wise, and it was when he was under pressure. If D. Winters comes to play again for TCU and brings that pass rush, could force Bennett into some mistakes. Look, Georgia's favored this way, Gabe, because of the statistical profile. The yardage numbers look great. They've blown out a lot of teams, whereas TCU's been outgained in some games. They have a positive turnover margin.
Yeah, that none of that matters
like
anymore.
That. But they make the critical play, and they hang a team. That's what we're trying.
We'll talk about their 3-3-5 defense and how it confuses teams on the other side as well. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
$100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Oh, yeah. Quickest 180 minutes of Sports Talk Radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Ian Cameron kicking with a sub. Let's get into the NFL here. But World Juniors, I don't know if you bet on this stuff tonight, USA and Canada, was an entertaining game, was closer than a 6-2 final score would indicate. But at the same point in time, you know, it was 6-2 when it was all said and done. It goes over the number. We've been waiting for numbers to be posted, and we have numbers right now. So there is a third-place game. You know, there's medals and all this, you know what I mean? And so it's the World Championships. So USA versus Sweden, USA minus 234, over under a 6 in this hockey game. And Canada open up is minus 335, money line favorites over the Czech Republic. Canada minus a puck and a half is minus 134, and the over under is 7. What are your thoughts on the World Juniors, Babano?
Yeah, just based on, I haven't bet much in the tournament, but obviously I've been watching it and certainly been watching all the medal round pretty much. I'd take a shot with Sweden in the bronze medal game. It's just the obvious, you know, handicapping 101. I mean, USA just played their rival Canada. Very disheartening to lose it 6-2, especially when they outshot Canada. They peppered Milic, the goaltender, who was just magnificent. Let's be honest, Canada got a great goaltending performance because the U.S., you know, could have scored 5 or 6 tonight.
Definitely.
Was outstanding. To lose that game is kind of...
Let me just say it. I watched both games today. Bro, Sweden blew a 1-0 lead with like 17
that
seconds
could be
left in regulation.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah. That could
and
be
then they lost.
Still to swallow to bounce back and, from, yeah.
And then they lost with a minute left in overtime. It was like a double killer. So they're up, and they were up 1-0 all game. Like they were up 1-0 like early in the second period. They coasted all the way through, and I know because I had them. They coasted all the way through, and then literally I think there was 17 seconds left. Buddy teed one up from the blue line, boom, with the empty net, and we're like a minute. Yeah. I think it was a minute and 14 or minute 40 or like in overtime left. They were just. I was thinking, oh boy, here we go. We're going to be going to a penalty, you know, penalty shots, shootout. Here we go. And I was thinking soccer, hockey, you can't escape it. Let's go. And then, boom, they scored. And I tell you what, the Swedes were pretty freaking devastated. See, I don't know. It's a tough game, that one. Canada, same with Canada. It's a revenge spot.
You got two devastated teams, but I'd take the plus price with one of them. And obviously that would be Sweden. I'd probably lay the puck and a half with Canada. This is the one team that beat them in the tournament so far, Czechia. The very first game, but I think it's a different Canada team now. They're playing a lot better. I could see the puck and a half minus 134.
Yeah, Czechia, not the Czech Republic anymore. I don't know, they change their name all the time. Czechoslovakia to Czech Republic and Czechia.
Czechia. Yep.
Is it Czechia, Czechia, Czechia? I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so. So the NFL, we went over what they're going to do. We'll recap that later again. So just to recap this college football, actually, before we get to the NFL. So, yeah, it's 12.5 now. It's come down to FanDuel, total 62.5. Look, we saw both games were track meets. I don't think this game will really be any different. I would expect a track meet here. And I brought up TCU's defense, and a lot of people thought, like, oh, this defense is sort of a pop gun, like Big 12. It's not, it won't work, 3-3-5, this scheme that they have. The thing is, anytime you do something different, other teams aren't used to it. And Michigan clearly were not used to it, right? And the thing is, TCU's defense, the guys on their team, I talked about it midseason, actually, about TCU's defense. I said, man, these kids are fast. And they basically make you decide first. So, like, the way they set up is basically, like, it's almost like they're calling a defensive audible on every play, Babano. So, like, they set up in this 3-3-5, and you set back, and you've never seen it because no one else plays it, and you're like, all right, what the hell's this? But then you're like, man, that guy looks like he's going to be pretty open and stuff. And like, and then they bait you in, and you throw it, and then they pick six it. You know what I mean? And you notice TCU always just creep up on the plays. They know. And if the kids on TCU are good at reading the quarterback as well and what he decided. And it threw Michigan off. And Michigan, J.J. McCarthy's a smart kid. Michigan are smart coaches. They had a hard time with it. They figured it out late, and they just realized, start throwing over it. Right? That was what they caught on to. And I swear to God, it almost reminds me of Bano, sort of the Syracuse zone in the old days. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that like the way to beat TCU is kind of like that. You notice Michigan had a lot of success with like big chunk plays through the air. Like, cause it's confusing to read their defense, Babano. You're a college team. You're not like Tom Brady, bro. You're like, oh, this is what they're doing. I know what to do here and adjust. No, you're a college kid. And you're like, I've never seen this. No one's done this before. And you think stuff's open and it's not. And it's like, it really is a good trap. Like there's all these green spaces that you see that aren't really there. It's like a mirage. Because their kids are so fast, they close the gap, they close the lane, and then, but you notice, as I stated, if you sort of like the zone, how do you beat that Syracuse zone in the old days? Shoot the three over it. You got to be able to shoot. So I think to beat TCU's defense, like we saw with Michigan, they just finally realized, you know what? If we just throw it over all this crap, their little scheme doesn't work anymore. And I'm gonna look for Georgia to be attacking them deep, bro, in this game. I think we're going to have points. Should be a fun game. I just can't be laying that many points. I think this game's going to be a classic. Like, I think this game is exactly like the two games that we just saw. Maybe a little lower scoring just because it's a championship game. But, you know, 35-31, Babano, 40-37. I think we have a high-scoring classic, whoever has the ball last wins type of game. And at worst, maybe Georgia win by 7 or 10 or something.
Yeah, I think it probably does get over. I think the one thing I'm going to be looking to do, though, while I might have a small pregame over bet, is wait till after the first quarter and bet the live over. We have seen the last two national championship games, I believe 3-0 and 7-0. After the first quarter, and then the points really started to fly second quarter and beyond. That's 2 years in a row that's been the pattern. So I think that's the best way to approach it. If you like the over, okay, sprinkle on it pregame at 62.5, 63. But I think I'll add a lot more after the first quarter if we get another low scoring start to the game, which we very well might.
Ian Cameron, kick it with us. I can't argue. If you want to roll the dice with that and hope that the total, well, listen. Yeah, I can't argue that. But it's like a stock market, bro. Like the Michigan game's a good example, man. That thing dipped, Babano, to like 44. I was live on the air during the game. Like it dipped like to 43.5, 44.5. It was going nowhere fast, and then boom, right? The next thing you know, you're in the 90s. So
exactly,
you can get all too. Yeah. No, you're right, but I'm just saying there's all and that dude the Michigan game against TCU, it was one of those cases, Babano. You could have gotten both teams a plus money constantly during the game. It was nuts. Like the computer did not want to give up on Michigan early, so they would not, like, even though TCU were winning early, Michigan were favorite still, and TCU were still plus money even though they were up, and then suddenly Michigan were like plus 550. And then, boom, Michigan went from plus 550 to minus 190 when they cut the lead to 41-38. It was like insanity, the in-game stuff. I'm a diehard Michigan fan, so I was caught up in it. But if I was just a neutral bettor, I would have been clicking plus money on both sides. And I think it's a case. I bring this up, guys, because on Monday night, it's something to think about. If they just start going back and forth and the odds just keep going, oh, plus 160, oh, plus 140, plus 180, like back and forth on both teams, then you got to pull the trigger. So NFL football starts off with the Raiders and the Chiefs. Big game for the Chiefs. Raiders look to end the season strong here. You never know how teams are going to play the last week. I generally think they're going to play better. I expect bad teams to play well in the last week of the year, actually, generally. That's the theme. Totals 52.5. Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites. And the Tennessee Titans are getting six against the Jags on Saturday night. That's the game that really matters. First place on the line. Playoff spot on the line. Total 39.5.
Funny, I actually have a stronger opinion in the other game, the Chiefs-Raiders. I mean, like I said about Tennessee-Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville's better. I think they're going to find a way to win the game, but it wouldn't surprise me if Tennessee makes this a field goal game. You mentioned the coaching of Vrabel. He'll probably have them well prepared. Josh Dobbs, I don't think he's much of an upgrade from Malik Willis, but he's better than Malik Willis, so at least it gives them something, maybe in the passing game in this one. But I think Jacksonville is playing well. And I don't think they'll crumble in the moment. I think it'll be close. I think Jacksonville, I'm going to play the Jags in a teaser. As far as Chiefs-Raiders, I like the Raiders there. Mahomes and the Chiefs, the road favorite role, I believe they're on a 3-12 run. ATS is road favorites of more than a field goal. Like, any time the Chiefs have been laying big points, they've been a disaster. And look, they barely beat Denver last week at home. Stidham played great. Stidham knows McDaniel's offense. I was looking to see, would the Raiders quit, you know, after Carr got sent home? No. They played hard, they played well, and they almost beat a damn good San Francisco team last week. I think it's too many points here. Raiders played Chiefs tough earlier this year. Maybe you want to play spoiler here to the Chiefs' seeding hopes going into this game. So I like the Raiders, and I think it's a high-scoring game. I think the over is a good look there as well.
Yeah, we'll remind people, every player that will step on the field this week cares. Like, that whole stuff about, yep, like, well, they're not, like... Dude, like, it's their job, Abano. We talk about this every damn week, which, like, it's their job, right? And they're trying to make money. It's as simple as that. So it's not like, oh, I don't care. It's the last game of the year. I want to get embarrassed on national television and lose my job and look like an idiot and look like a bad player. That's what I said. Like, generally, with really bad teams, you want to bet on them early in the year and then late in the year because they have nothing to lose, right? Other teams could be concerned, well, you know, we don't want to give away this, and, well, we're a little beat up, so let's just get out of here, and we're up by six, and, well, kick the field goal here. You know, the mentality changes. If you're the Raiders, you got nothing to lose, right? You know, you can just drop back, run trick plays, and just, you know, roll it out, have fun. If you're, you know, there's no pressure. Tennessee and Jacksonville, there's pressure. Baltimore, Cincinnati's a real game. That's a big time game, division title game. We got a point spread, guys. Cincinnati Bengals lay 7, Babano. Total is 42. Obviously, a tough situation for the Bengals as much as it is the Bills. Bills a little bit more, but Bengals in a tough spot as well this week.
Yeah, it's tough. Those are tough games to bet, honestly. You know, because I think Cincinnati is not just. I think Cincinnati is a decent amount better than Baltimore. I mean, this Baltimore offense, if you put Tyler Huntley in a position where they're trailing and they've got to throw the ball, they can't do it. You know, and so, like, when Baltimore was having success against Pittsburgh, you know, it was when they were leading. You know, they could still run the ball a lot, and they're very good at it. You know, the run schemes they've got are excellent, Baltimore. I won't deny that. And Dobbins, and they've got multiple backs. But when they're trailing, it's a limited offense, and we saw that with Huntley. That's going to be the key there. Can Cincinnati get out in front and force more passing from the Ravens? They do, that Baltimore's in trouble. Buffalo, you're right. I mean, it means everything for New England because they're trying to win and get in. Where's Buffalo's heads at? They're tough games to bet.
And they're totally 7-point favorites, too. It's the same number.
I'd be reluctant to lay it with both. I'd lay it with Cincinnati before I lay it with Buffalo if I had to lay it with one of the two.
I think the one thing that helped the Buffalo Bills, at least spiritually, is the fact that the game is in Buffalo. Man, if it was on the road, like, it would be real tough for them. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, this show's really flying by. Quick as 100 minutes of Sports Talk Radio continues. Ian Cameron, that's all right, but Ben, I'll give you the floor here. What do you like this week in the NFL? Tricky week, final week of play before the playoffs. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, we'll do some quick hitters here. Last 2 minutes in what we like. You know, I, like I mentioned, I like the Raiders plus the points. I like Jacksonville and the over in that game against Kansas City. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars to win. But I'm probably going to have them in a teaser rather than laying the points because I could see that being a close game. I think if you actually bet that game straight, you got to look maybe Tennessee plus the points because it still could be close. As far as the Sunday games go, I'm going to give you a little bit of a stunner here. I think the LA Rams may not just cover. They could beat Seattle, even though Seattle's playing for everything there. Seattle has really only beaten weaklings this year. They've played three teams with a winning record. 49ers, and 49ers crushed them twice. That's number one. They played earlier this year Chargers, who were just beaten up with a ton of injuries, and they did win that game. And the other winning team they played was the Giants.
Yeah, but the Rams aren't a winning team.
The Rams aren't. But the Rams to me can compete in this game because I don't trust Seattle's defense. And if you watch the Jets game last week, I'm convinced Mike White was not healthy. Was not 100%, not even close. And I think that really hurt. The Jets defense, a little overrated with the way they played down the stretch. Pressure on Seattle now. Rams have been playing loose, and even last week against the Chargers, it got away from them in the second half, but the Chargers are really ramping into form. I think the Rams, with as long McVay, too, has kept them, you know, going late in the season, even with all the injuries, all the issues they've had. I think they give Seattle a game. I think they're a live dog.
I can't disagree. You never really know what you're going to get from the Rams. I've liked, you know, listen, they had that comeback with Baker. They get absolutely lit up once, right? They get smashed. They light up Denver. They're sort of erratic, but I can't disagree. Like I said, Seattle under pressure. And then conversely, you got the Rams playing with house money. They got nothing to lose. No pressure on them. Ian Cameron. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.